Hi, I'm Melanie, and this is how I became a video content producer at Balanced.
Welcome to the Story Points Podcast. I'm Roger, your host, and we're back today with another episode for our series, How I Became, and with us today is Melanie. Melanie, do you mind introducing yourself to the audience?
Hi, I'm Melanie. I'm currently a video content producer at Balanced. And so I manage a lot of the producing, filming, editing, and then I've also been working on some marketing content. And I edit that a little bit as well.
So yeah, you know, we met at Balanced, gosh, almost a year now.
Almost a year. I just reached my first 1 year as an intern.
How was that?
It was good.
Yeah.
They treated me to steak.
That's the tech startup dream, right?
Yeah.
You get that free dinner. So before you came to Balanced, what were you doing?
I was a teacher. I should say that. More excited. I was a teacher. I went to St. Joe's College for an education degree, early childhood, and in speech communications. And so I graduated being able to teach birth through sixth grade. And then so after college, I was a preschool teacher. And 2 years, I taught fourth grade before I transitioned out of education.
So is that something you've always wanted to do with education?
Yes, for a little part of my life, I think. I think I decided I want to be a teacher in like middle of high school. Mm-hmm. And I realized like I do have a strength with kids. I do have a strength with creating like rapport with them, building a relationship, and then teaching them content through that. But I think as I became a teacher and started doing it, and plus I also finished my first year of teaching fourth grade and COVID hit. And so I did the second, I did the second year of fourth grade. All hybrid, mostly remote, but all hybrid.
What was that like? Like, what was it like?
Tears.
Figuring out Zoom, and then you have fourth graders, and then their parents. Yeah.
It was tough. I mean, my school community is really, really good.
Yeah.
And the parents well respect us. And so getting them on board with like what I was actually teaching the kids was all fine. There wasn't any problems. It was just the day to day of actual sitting at your desk for like 8 hours with kids and not being able to interact with them physically, but having to engage with them just virtually through a screen.
Yeah, through the screen. Yeah.
So I think by the end of the year, it got a little emotionally draining.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just felt like I couldn't give my best self to the kids as much. And so also, I guess the lifestyle of a teacher, you go in knowing that there is work to always be taken home as well, because you have to grade, you have to build out your curriculum, you have to plan out your lessons.
So one of my friends is a teacher, and I didn't know that you build the curriculum pretty much like that summer.
Yeah.
So I think what he told me is when he started teaching high school, he had to build the curriculum for that freshman year. But then after that, he can like recycle it.
Yeah.
But then if you change grades, then you have to build it again.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought the school just gives you like, hey, you're going to do math at 9 a.m. and then you're going to do science at 10 and so on.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. We get to choose, like there's a lot of liberty there of when we think our content should be. So I personally enjoy teaching math in the morning because that's when the kids are most awake and like ready to learn. But otherwise the school just like gives you the curriculum and then you plan out when you teach and at what time. And just,
do you always call it content, or is that just because you started doing video?
It's like PTSD. I just say lesson plans and curriculum.
So how did you get into video production? Was it Zoom?
No. To be fair, so video editing wasn't something new for me. I think I started video editing back when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
And it was because my brother and sister also video edited. And the way that they got started, which impacted me, was they started editing AMVs. You know AMVs?
The animated music videos?
Yeah.
That was what YouTube was for.
Yeah, this is when YouTube was like very early. And so I'll always remember my sister edited an AMV for Inuyasha. And she used the "I'll Make a Man Out of You" from Mulan. Yeah. And it was just very cool. It's a very cool video. And then my brother made one for Naruto and Death Note. And then he used like this crazy like orchestra music and stuff. And they just both edited. And then I remember when they showed me those videos, like,
were you using Windows Movie Maker or iMovie?
I think my sister made hers on Windows Movie Maker, but my brother used Sony Vegas. Do you know Sony
Vegas? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because my cousin would use the same tool to do the same thing.
Yeah, so. Sony Vegas was like.
I was like, that's so cool. How'd you do that? And it was like, this program. I'm like, holy crap.
And then later on.
I wanted a Sony laptop so badly.
Yeah, later on I find out like Sony Vegas is hardly like the industry standard. But it's like sometimes the easiest to pirate also like download. So yeah, so they edited a lot, and my brother edited more in high school, and he would share with me like his little vlogs that he would make with his friends. And so that kind of inspired me. But what got me into it more was not AMVs, but you know MMVs?
No.
Did you play MapleStory? You know MapleStory?
No, I'm too old for that.
No, my brother.
No, I really don't know.
MapleStory is like this like RPG game.
Yeah.
And like you get to create characters, and they could be like magician, warrior, archer, things like that. And with MapleStory, there was also this huge community online on YouTube that would create MapleStory music videos, and they'd be able to like download different facial features of the characters, different movements, and then piece it all together in a video. And I thought it was so cool. And so I made a bunch of MapleStory music videos with my friends. And I think that's what really got me on like the video editing high.
Yeah.
And then like that just like continued on until middle school and high school.
So was it just the video editing part of it, or was it kind of creating the content that got you interested? Because I can see people who are like, I want to create these ideas, but they don't necessarily want to do that.
The editing work?
Yeah. That's a lot.
I think it was really the editing. I liked the editing portion of it.
Yeah.
So, like, post-production, I think, was my favorite part of all of it. Because that's when it actually just comes together.
Yeah, because for me, even just doing this, I'm like, I don't know how to get this shot. And it never comes out like it is in my head. And I'm like, I could just, if someone just gave it to me,
I could make
it look the way I want it to look. So I feel you on that.
Yeah.
So what got you to balance? Like, how did you find balance? Mm. What was that story like?
So I was, when was it? It might have been April or May. And I remember, I tell Kelly and Katie this all the time, that I was in my classroom at the time, and it was lunchtime.
Yeah.
And it was indoor recess, which meant I think it was raining that day. And so I had put on Series of Unfortunate Events on Netflix for my students during the lunchtime, because we were reading the books at the time. And so since there was a series of it, I let them watch it during Netflix. And then I was on my laptop kind of like job searching a little bit. And so I remember talking to someone I had networked with on LinkedIn, and she suggested angel.co, because I had shared with her that I was thinking of transitioning out of teaching. And so I asked her, what's the best way to, you know, transition out of an industry when you don't have professional experience somewhere else?
Yeah.
And so she actually recommended that she did the same thing, not necessarily with teaching, but she did the same thing of transitioning by working at a startup, because they say like you wear so many hats, you do so many things, you're able to work on so many different projects without having to like stick to one. And so she recommended looking at angel.co. And then
when you heard the word startup, did you think of tech at all?
No.
You just thought like there's a brand new company starting from ground zero.
Okay. Yeah.
I never heard the term startup until I got into tech. And I was
What?
I don't know. Other industries you start, I'm like, I guess that makes sense. Like it's not just a tech word.
I think when I applied to Balance, I didn't know what the term startup was, but I know in the job listing that Kelly made, it said, we're a brand new company, and so we'll build it alongside of you.
Yeah.
And I think that's all I knew about where Balance was as a company.
Yeah. So then why Balanced, I guess? Right. So like you applied, but like was it just you were like, I need to get my foot in the door somehow? So you kind of just took any job? They're not listening. It's okay.
Unless no, I knew that I specifically wanted to try video production or do something in the video producing world. And so I remember when I saw that listing, I mean, for one, like it was written very well. Mm-hmm. I tell Kelly and Katie that all the time, that like you could tell that it was written with intent.
Yeah.
And it was very human. Like it wasn't just like, this is what you'll do, blah, 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 blah.
But must have 5 years of experience using Final Cut, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I think she in it, Kelly had written like, we know nothing about production, so you'd be like the expert on spot or something. And I mean, I knew I had enough experience with a camera and video editing that I'd be able to come in and help. But I always tell them like it was so well written, and like it kind of just like spoke to where I was at the time. And so I applied to it, but with like no expectation of hearing back. And then Kelly was very fast. she got back to me in like a few days. Yeah. We sat at the interview, and it was just such a casual conversation too.
I remember when Katie reached out to me, it was like 10:15 at night. I just got back from playing tennis, and I was like, why do I have an email from AngelList? I haven't used that in a while.
Did you like update your resume or something?
I updated it because I logged. So I use AngelList to see what's the most trending products, like the trending product tech ideas. Mm-hmm. And I just want to get a sense of the market, like understand what's going to come out. And that's a good way to find them. And I got a message from her and I was like, I was very passionate about fitness and nutrition. And I'm like, yeah, all right, let's see what she has to say about.
Balance. Do you remember what it said in the email?
No, I don't. But I replied. So the point of that story is I replied back, and within like the time it took me to shower, and again, that's like 10 o'clock at night. I was like, oh, I have a reply back. And I was actually like, yeah, I can do tomorrow morning. And then within that time, because my the company at the time I was working at was California based, they put a meeting on my calendar for that. I was like, I can't do it. So I messaged her back. And she's like, okay, it's fine. Just tell me when you're available. I'm like, that's aggressive. And we both know Katie's just very straight to the point.
Yeah. But I remember that whole experience wrapping up in like 2 weeks, maybe. Yeah. We had our call, and then she said, okay, the other co-founder, Katie, will just give you a phone call. And then Katie called me like a few days later.
You're telling kids like, sit down.
Yeah, so it was like quite the experience. So I liked how
it was an internship. It started as an internship.
It was an internship. Yeah. It was a 3-month internship. And
so at that point, and obviously everything turned out fine because you got the job. But at that point, were you like, oh, okay, I'll do this for the summer because you're a teacher and I think you have summers off, right? Pretty sure.
Depending. Hot take. Technically, yeah. What, by summers off, do you mean just like time wise?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You just have the time. You might be doing something like building your curriculum for the year or something, but you have
that time in class
every single Monday to Friday. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Because I know, like, I worked with a few people at Apple who were actually teachers, and they would just come in during the summer, work, and then they'd leave. So. But at that time, did you know when you got the internship, like, all right, if this works out, I'm done with teaching? Or were you like, all right, we'll see?
No, I think I was already done with teaching by like May.
Yeah. You were like, no, regardless, September, I'm going to start.
Yeah, so I was kind of going in blind, but I was like, fingers crossed this works out. Because I remember my boss, my principal, the principal of school, coming into my classroom sometime in early March, maybe, because we usually do like, he does his rounds of just gauging how everyone is. And so he came into my classroom at the end of the day one day, and he's just like, oh, how are you? Fine, everything's fine. And then he just says, yeah, so expecting that you'll be coming back next year, right? And I'm just like, no, I don't think so. And I think it took him off guard a little bit. And he said, why? What's happening? And I was like, I'm just thinking of trying out something new. And then so I kept him like in the loop during that whole time, just letting him know like I'm applying to these internships.
That's very nice.
Yeah, he was very open to it.
Did he leave the door open for you to like, hey, if it doesn't work out?
Yeah. Even through the summer,
he texts me right now. Hey, how do you feel about fifth grade?
No, he did. He was like, you know, you could have any grade you want. Like, yeah. You know, fourth grade isn't the one for you. And I said, no, it's just in general. I'm sorry. But yeah, he was super gracious. So it worked out fine. But yeah, I think that was just, I already committed to that being
So you just took
year.
The jump.
Just took the jump. And just fingers crossed that like the internship would turn
kudos
full
to you
time.
For doing that. Yeah.
Thank you.
I would be, I would have to have a backup. Like, I'm not making, I'm not taking jump, I'm not jumping ship.
But I do know I did ask, or I think it even was in the job description where it said the internship could turn full time. Mm-hmm. And I think I asked Kelly about that as well in the interview. And she said, yeah, if things turn out well. And I'm like, okay, things will turn out well. It's going to be me. So I think I kind of secured it.
So did you made this jump into video production from teaching to video production full time as like your full time as a full time job. But it's different than doing it as like a hobby.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, you can do it as a hobby. You kind of you can go into waves of inspiration.
Yeah.
So did you ever feel any kind of imposter syndrome doing like as the summer went on or even till now?
Yes. Even today.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because I know that I can edit videos and I think I can do them well. But I know also know that film and video is a whole industry. Like there's schools, you know, like our coworkers, they went to film school. And so they have been around all of this for forever.
Yeah.
When technically all I've known has been education, like professionally.
Anime videos.
Yeah. Mabel story.
But no,
videos.
But it's similar to people who come from boot camps, right? Coding boot camps who do it for 3 months.
Yeah.
They work their ass off to figure it all out. And then they're into this job pool of people like me who went to school for it.
Mm.
So I can imagine how daunting that would be. I mean, like when I went to school, it was very loose because it was a math computer science degree.
Okay.
So I still felt the same way of like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I feel like school did not prepare me at all.
Oh, really?
So I was like, I don't know if I can do this. So that was why I was like so hesitant. I'm glad I took the jump to do it.
Do you think boot camps nowadays prepare you just as well as school would?
I think at the end of the day, it depends on the person.
Oh.
Because if you're not curious and you really just want to keep learning, then it's not going to, no matter if you come from college, if you come a college degree or a boot camp, it's not going to work out. Mm. You're just not going to be happy.
Oh, okay.
You're going to find it like a struggle. So it's like you just have to find that like passionate middle ground of learning and then being able to kind of like give yourself a confidence boost of doing what you know well.
Yeah.
So when did they tell you this was a tech company? So because you started in June and I started talking to Katie, I think end of June, July.
Okay.
We were talking for at least a month and a half before.
Yeah, you guys
I
were
did,
talking a while.
I did a full,
right?
Yeah, I got an actual offer.
Wait, so you knew that Balance was a tech company?
Yes, at that point.
Okay.
So I'm curious, did they tell you like, hey, we're a tech company and you're making content that we're going to make an app and show it up here? Because I know when we when I started, you guys were using ClassPass.
No, wait, what?
Punch Pass. That's what it was.
Oh, the days of Punch Pass.
To publish all the content.
Yeah.
So when did they tell you, hey, this is a tech company?
I don't know if they've ever told you. I think
we're a tech company.
I'm learning right now a year in. Because I remember not asking, but Kelly mentioning in that very first interview, she was like, we're not technically a tech company.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember her saying that like verbatim. And so in my head, I'm like, okay, we're not a tech company. Like we're just a company. Because I don't know. I think at that point, like, you know how tech is really like big now and in a way it gets like glamorized in videos and
which is
like
also
that.
Why I hate repeating myself, but I feel like it's important. We're a young startup, a young podcast.
Yes.
But you know, that was why I wanted to build. I was actually after we started, I always had an idea to build a podcast around teaching about tech. I just didn't know what it was. There's a lot out there of like, hey, this is how you code or this is what you should look out for and stuff like that. And I was like, I want it to be different.
Mm.
And it wasn't until we were sitting over there and you and M,
first
day where you guys are asking questions about just, I guess it's more like tech culture. And I was like, this comes up a lot. And I was noticing myself giving advice to my brother, to my wife, to other people who are not in tech. And I'm like, why is that not normal culture? So then that's when I had the idea of like, oh, let's talk more about culture and talk about like how you can introduce, how tech is just kind of taking over everything.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's not going to just be like, hey, you work in tech. It's just like, okay, you just work part of a company.
Yeah.
Because
tech
is everywhere.
Yeah. That's what Kelly had said too. She said, we're talking about a tech company because like tech is just used everywhere too.
Yeah.
So she's like, it's hard to label it as well. So I don't think I even realized it then. I think for the whole internship, I was like, it's just a company. I'm not in tech. It was just
a
company.
Did you have like, I don't want to say like, I don't know how to say it, like kind of like blinders on where you're like, oh wow, everything is like new and shiny. This is like completely different than being in a school and everything is great.
Yeah. I think sometimes I even still feel that because I guess now I'm learning that a big like benefit, I guess, with tech is like the flexibility of your schedule.
Yeah.
Because like there are so many things that I'm able to do with my schedule now working that I would never been able to do when I was teaching, like take a doctor's appointment.
Or even any normal job.
Yeah.
9-to-5 job.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I'm not able to schedule a doctor's appointment at 11 a.m. in the morning when I was a teacher because like where I'm teaching math at that point. And so it's like, I was so used to work, the definition of work being like I arrive at this time, my lunch break and my free time is 1 hour at this point. And then I'm done at like 4 p.m., but I still have to work other stuff. So like sometimes tech still blows my mind a little bit with the flexibility,
the flexibility
of it.
Yeah.
And now having been working here for the past year, and I talked to my other friends who are not in tech, like for example, like Wei is, oh, shout out Wei. He works at an agency where his hours are just like insane and like sometimes he works over his lunch break and he's not really done until like 6 p.m. and like that kind of blows my mind some too, where I think like, how is it possible for you to work this for this many hours and not have a break? And so like tech still feels very, very new to me, and I think that there's a lot more to tech. And like I experience what it is right now because we're a young company and like we're starting out here.
If you were at, I don't know, any other company that wasn't a startup as young as us, I don't know if we would ever interact as much as we
do. Yeah.
So how did you feel like when myself, Jamal, those were the only other two people that started with us on the very first day.
Yeah.
Right. So how did you feel like coming in and then it was like, whoa, new faces. And then we sat in the room over there
for
at the
like
table,
hours
just talking about, okay, tech culture. And how did that feel like hearing about all that? Like
it was very exciting, but I also remember feeling really nervous because, you know, like you start a new job and you just have to talk to so many more new people.
Yeah.
Like you're not comfortable anymore. So I remember maybe like half of it, I had no idea what you guys were talking about. Like you guys would use the language like products and
engineering
like
buzzword
yeah, jargon that's something I remember, the jargon. Which is, there's good jargon, but then there's also just like industry jargon. And so I remember, and I think Em also shared this feeling with me too, where we both just had to get used to brand new language that we've just never used or heard before.
I tried to explain when I realized that like both of you have never heard those terms before, which again, no fault to both of you. I always tried to explain like what they meant or try not to just say like the acronym. Right. We're not doing that. I know exactly what that feels like, where you nod your head because you're like, I don't want to sound like an idiot in front of like six people. And this is my boss now who hired me.
Like this has to get to me by EOD. EOW, different. I'm like, what? So a lot of learning, I remember. Yeah. Like everything just felt shiny and new at that point. Yeah, which was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I thought you are a great guest for this series is because you transferred from teaching, which depending on where you are, is not a tech field, or at least a tech organization, to something like balanced of what you're doing now. Do you have any advice for anyone who wants to kind of, even if you're going into tech, just go from one career to another?
Oh, yeah. I know that I really had to up my LinkedIn game. Like, to be fair, unless I was in a bubble back at school, but like with me and all my child study, like that's the name of the major for education back at St. Joe's. LinkedIn wasn't, we didn't really use it for teaching.
Hold on. Hi, everyone. I just want to take a moment from the episode just to remind all of you to please like, subscribe, comment, and leave us a review. We're on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and now in video format on YouTube. You can find us under Story Points, Stories About Engineering. And of course, follow our social media where you can catch all of the latest news, all the latest episode drops, story_points. We're on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, mostly Instagram. I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. Any advice for anyone?
Oh, yeah, transitioning
from one career to another.
Yeah.
I know those are two completely different ones.
Yeah, for one, I knew I had to upgrade anything I had on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is just, at least for me at St. Joe's, we didn't use it that often for education, because every single year we already had student teaching where we'd be put inside schools and classrooms, and that was basically our way to connect with teachers in order to try to secure a job at wherever we student taught. And so we didn't really need LinkedIn. But then
I remember LinkedIn is big for engineering. And my wife, she's a nurse, and she made a LinkedIn. And I'm like, why are you connecting with me on LinkedIn? I'm not going to connect with you. You have zero ability, like nothing to my network.
Yeah, even for nursing too, you don't need LinkedIn.
You don't need it. So, sorry, keep interrupting.
It's for specific industries,
it is big for finance.
Yeah, and, for finance, you know, for business.
Yeah, so it's like not that. Just engineering. But
yeah. So I had to upgrade my LinkedIn and actually put all the things that I had been doing on there. And also I realized how expansive it is, because it was through LinkedIn that I found like internships. And so prior to Balanced, I had applied to another internship. Funnily enough, it was at an agency in Brooklyn. I think they're like one block away or something. I won't name them. But in around like April, May, I was deciding if I want to go into video production or even like advertising. Mm-hmm. So I considered advertising, like marketing space. And I applied to this one internship, and it was like a 3-week process, and it was down to me and like this one other person. Like it was insane. But I like worked really hard on my submission. And when I spoke to the people that interviewed me, like we got along really well. And I said, you know what, I got this internship in the bag. I'm going to be part of advertising. And then like, I didn't get it. But the thing is, but then like Balance happened like 2 weeks later. Yeah. So it's fine. But it was through LinkedIn that I found the internships, which then kind of leads me into the second point of internships is kind of a really great entry point. I don't know. I don't want to say like anything is age related. I feel like I'm still young enough to be applying to internships, because usually internships are for college students.
Yeah.
But
or I mean, you could be like, you know, that one doctor who's in the residency program at like 45.
Yeah,
you know?
That is true. It's never too. Yeah. It's never too late. Yeah. If you take anything away from this podcast, it's
never too late. Update your LinkedIn.
Exactly. But yeah. It led me to internships, which just kind of opens up a really good entry level, where the pressure is not too high and it can lead to a full-time position, which is exactly what happened with Balanced. So LinkedIn, try to find internships, and kind of be open to committing to have to learn by yourself for a little bit.
Yeah.
I knew that in the summer, I was on, what is it? LinkedIn Learning. You know, like they have those videos where you can learn different topics. Oh, like similar to Skillshare,
yeah,
but it was on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And so I remember I took a bunch of classes on LinkedIn and then on Skillshare. Not Skillshare. I think there are other platforms. Even on YouTube, too, just to learn new things and find out if I had other hobbies that I would be willing to go full time into. And so transitioning can be really hard emotionally, but sometimes I feel like if you commit to putting in work, that's already a good enough mindset shift.
Feels like you're taking like 4 steps back.
Yeah.
But in reality, you're taking 2 steps back and then 1 step forward.
Exactly. In a different direction.
Just like constantly doing that back and forth. So you mentioned advertising. I didn't know you wanted to do advertising before the video marketing or video production. Sorry. Mm. But then now it balanced. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Email marketing.
So that's interesting though, because that goes into kind of the two avenues you're considering, right? Yeah, video production to advertising.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you're only able to experience kind of both roads because you're here at a startup?
Yeah, I think so. Because for that advertising agency internship, I had to choose a specific route that I wanted to go into. And the one I had chosen was art direction, which when I was applying, I had no idea what that was. I remember I had to research so much before the interview to like figure out what exactly art direction was, what does that mean? And then I remember after the summer had ended, I had actually looked at the agency, LinkedIn, to see how the internships was going. Because I think they did like a team shout out. And like, I saw the work that the person was doing. And I remember when I saw it, I was like, oh, you know what? I don't know if that really like interests me. Yeah. So I'm glad that I didn't end up doing that. But the beauty of a startup, I guess, is like you get to try so many different things.
Yeah,
Like I could do anything.
You want to start developing?
I'm going to start coding.
Don't say the C word on this podcast. No coding.
Why?
We're programmers.
Oh. Yeah. Is coding like taboo?
We're engineers.
Oh, it's a taboo word.
That's the good word. Engineer, not coding.
Okay. You can edit that out. You can put the curse sound.
Beep.
Yeah, the beep.
No, that's a thing. That's like just a little joke within the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Is I don't know why someone said coding. And I was like, for some reason, engineers hate that. Hey, they hate it when we're called coders. You're such a coder. It's like, what does that mean? But so you're able to wear different hats.
Yeah.
So do you think you're going to stick with the marketing? Or do you want to get back into video production? Because for me, whenever I talk to anyone, especially people who come into balance, and this is primarily for engineering, is like, what are you happy with doing?
Mm.
Right? We're hiring you to do a specific thing, but where do you want to be in 6 months to a year?
Yeah. I think I spoke about this with Kelly too, that this past quarter has been really about learning what email marketing is and how to exactly facilitate it. And I'm having a really fun time learning about it. And I can imagine myself next quarter still learning more and then figuring out a way to make it more of like maintenance versus having to restructure everything from the very beginning. Yeah. But,
So making it reusable.
Yeah, making it reusable. Like
sounds like what it's like to be a developer.
Really? Better watch out. You know, I might not be on the other side.
Engineer at balance, right?
Yeah.
Making reusable templates.
Oh yeah.
And such.
Yeah. So if email marketing team were to ever grow, or just marketing in general, then we already have like a system in place that's just running. And then however, I can imagine myself wanting to come back to production, but more in the creative space, where not necessarily the fitness classes we're doing, but more of like the behind the scenes shoots, or if we have photo shoots and we have video
also
shoots.
More like the, I'm not going to say the social media, but the content creation to promote the trainers and you know our brand as a whole, which is somewhat, it's still marketing,
exactly,
but
it can
it's
be used
a little more
exactly so it's not like the day-to-day formulaic producing that's going on, but more of everything else that also represents balance. Like we had done a a trainer photo shoot back in March. And like my job was to set up all the shots for all the trainers, figure out what angles we were going to do, what their expressions should be, what exercises are they doing. And planning all that out was more of, I think, like creative producing. Creative producer was my title that day. So like that was very exciting. Like if it's that kind of stuff, I enjoy doing that. And I guess if in the future we have commercials and kind of like ads, like I'd love to be part of that kind of process. So I feel like I can go back and forth, but I guess just learning more about each part of the company has been really rewarding.
So one of the last questions I want to ask is, do you feel like you have a mentor here?
Ooh. Like a official?
Yeah, maybe not an official, but someone that you kind of lean on to give you advice on whatever you're doing.
Yes.
Whatever you're working on.
I would say for me.
And how'd you build that relationship with said person? You don't have to say their name if you don't want to.
So my mentor is
this person.
I would say yes, because I trust in like a few people that I have to reach out to whenever I need feedback or reviews on things. I trust who I go to, which I guess that kind of makes them a mentor in what I'm doing. Like for marketing, I go to
It's okay, you don't have to say that.
Okay. For marketing, I go to a specific person. For feedback on my designs, I go to like two specific people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then for...
So you would say it almost depends on the scenario and almost like who's the subject matter expert?
Yeah. And if I have like questions overall about, say, like tech or company, I know who to go to for that. And so even though they're not official mentors, I still am able to know that they have so much more knowledge in something than I do. And then building the rapport with them first, whether that's through work or just in general, getting to know them, I find like that helps the most in building the mentor relationship.
And to wrap up, last question now is, how'd you get over your imposter syndrome of switching careers and kind of, you went 3 different careers at this point, from teacher to video production to marketing. So how do you kind of like get over, because that can be overwhelming, of like you hit a problem, you're like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. How do you kind of get over that feeling?
I don't think it's something you get over.
Yeah.
I think it's something that keeps happening over and over and over again, but that's not a bad thing
either.
Because
I think it checks your ego.
It checks your ego and it also, it humbles you.
Yeah.
Because you're allowing yourself to say, I don't know everything about this. And so there's so much more to, you know, what's that quote? The more you know, the more you find out how much you don't know or something. Yes.
There's no such things as losses, just learns. Is that what you're trying to say?
I think yes, but that sounded lamer. No, but I think rather, because I still know for sure I still struggle with imposter syndrome, but I have to kind of just shift the language of it, of like, is it actually it's imposter syndrome or is it just me still learning and being able to understand that I'm in a place where I can still learn from so many people around me who know so much more about this subject. Yeah. And so I think when the language is flipped on its head like that, then it becomes something that's less intimidating to approach.
That's such a, I never thought of it that way. I always thought of it as like, hey, you're still learning.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, because I remember a real, do you know Wong Fu?
Yeah.
On YouTube?
Yeah.
So
shout out Wong Fu Productions.
Love Wong Fu.
Sad Panda.
So I remember around this, maybe not this time last year, maybe a few months in the fall, this time last year, I had joined a mentorship program that was like specifically for Asian Americans that work in marketing and advertising. Mm-hmm. And one time Wong Fu was like the special guest. Well, it was Wesley. It was just Wesley. Oh. And it was Wesley and I think Asian Boss Girl was there too.
Wesley's the one with the thick glasses, right?
Yeah.
He's not the one that Like, I think his hair got dyed silver.
Ted?
Yeah.
No, his hair is naturally silver.
Is it?
Yeah.
So did he dye it black?
I think he would dye it black.
Oh, okay.
But then the past few years, he just let it go.
Okay, yeah. Never mind. Sorry.
I'm not sure why it does, but I think that that's his natural hair. But yeah, so Wes was one of the guests. And I remember telling them, like, just a quick, like, two-sentence backstory. I was like, I'm an intern, like, at this company, learning video production.
Who's here?
No, it was virtually.
No, but it was an intern. You were interning at Balanced, and then you...
Yes, I was either interning or 1 month into full-time.
Okay, yeah, that's why I was like, oh.
Yeah. And I remember saying, I'm in video production. I just switched over from teaching the past 3 years. And, like, I've been struggling with imposter syndrome, feeling like I'm not supposed to be here because everyone else knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then he had said something that was really helpful. He said, rather than viewing it as imposter syndrome, you have the opportunity to actually instead say that you just offer a different perspective on, like, products or whatever it is that you're offering to your consumers, members, to your members. And he said, you only, like, really do a disservice to yourself when you tell yourself you're just an imposter. And so when he said you shift your perspective, you realize that you're there because you're qualified. You were chosen by people who believe in your abilities to learn and to provide value.
He explained it. He says it way better. Yeah. I'm like, they hired you for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
that's just what I got out of it.
They hired you for a reason and you're worth, like, being there. And, like, it was really great being able to hear him say it because, like, they've just always done video production and they've always shared their stories about how they've
learned. And then for us, we're both Filipino. It's it's inspiring to see someone who looks like us doing it. Because I know I always looked down, I was like, man, this is so creative stuff. Mm. Like, I want to do it, but I didn't have enough drive to do it, to, like, be that committed.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll just buy a plushie and support them.
Or visit their cafe in California. Yeah, but it was really encouraging. And so I think that's something I still have to tell myself now.
Yeah.
Like, especially even when I'm doing email marketing, I only really learned it these past few months, this past quarter. And so I still have to do my due diligence of figuring out what email marketing is and then learning from the people above me and then becoming better that way.
Well, that was great. Thanks. Thank you, Melanie, for joining us today on our series, How I Became. I hope all of you got some great insight on conquering imposter syndrome, to finding a mentor, and kind of taking that jump into the career and field you would like. So
that was said really well.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Take care.
Bye.